Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your weekend went well. Hope you enjoyed it. Stayed out of the downpour when it happened. If you were the golfer that got struck by lightning that appears to be okay, love to hear from you at the Fan Text line, 503-864-6326.
Yeah, give us a call, man. We'd love an insight on what that felt like.
Was it like the guy in The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd? Six times. 66.
I think that's how it goes.
Dude, that's such bad luck in Oregon to get struck by lightning. It's
absolutely
terrible.
Horrible luck. Also, it wasn't even that big of a thunderstorm. I heard one clap of or one rumble. That's all I got at
I was
house.
In Hillsboro. It yeah, a bit shook more. My brother-in-law's house.
Was it more
so
going
I think
on?
It was more Weston than it was
I just heard one. That was it. And I'm like, somebody got struck from lightning from that? What the hell's going on out here, man?
We'll dive into the Jaylen Brown stuff, and let's kick off hour number two with one of our favorites, a good friend, covers the Boston Celtics for the Locked On Celtics podcast and the NBA at large, John Corrales. You can find him on Twitter at @John_Corrales. John, good morning. How was your weekend?
No, it was great. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. We're sitting here waiting for the Shams bombs and hoping that Jaylen Brown's going to be a Blazer. I don't know where you're sitting with everything. We know that they're actively shopping him. I don't know if you think it's the Blazers in the lead or you think it's another team, but just everything that is the fallout of Jaylen Brown after having such a great season without Tatum mostly, they blow the 3-1 lead in the playoffs. Just getting to this point and how loud it's been over in Boston with Jaylen Brown basically asking out without publicly doing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like shocked at the fact that we're even here. I think maybe the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade pursuit was the last straw for him, or maybe he just feels like after the season that he had, he wants his own team. He wants to be the number one guy somewhere. Hmm. Either way, it's clearly the momentum is that Jaylen is on his way out of town. As surprised as I am to hear it, I don't know that was the plan heading into this offseason for the Celtics, but it seems to be the plan now. And the Blazers represent at this point, probably the best combination of picks that the Celtics are looking for, maybe some young talent, and the opportunity to get a player like Jeremy Grant, a salary that they can turn around and use to package to kind of continue to improve their team. So it's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. And they're probably not going to get the superstar or near superstar that they're hoping for in return. So I think it's going to be a pivot to getting the picks, getting some young players, and getting that salary.
Hmm. I mean, it makes sense for both sides. I was one at the start when the Giannis thing went down. I thought, well, now Brown, the ship's kind of sailed there because I don't understand why Boston would want to do this with Portland. But then you hear what you're explaining and some of the salary and the picks and all that, and then being able to package that into something else. One of the debates that has happened locally for us that we chuckle at, we put a poll question up on our show page on Friday, would you include Donovan Klingon in a trade? And it was a near 50-50 split, which makes me want to scream at my fan base. But let me ask you that question. Is there a deal in place here, you think, without Donovan Klingon, or do you think that will be the hang-up because we continue to hear the Celtics are looking for a big, and he's certainly a good young big?
Yeah, look, I don't think that Klingon's inclusion or – I don't think that's going to be the thing that derails this whole thing. Hmm. But the Celtics are going to push hard for it. I think – you know, from a personal level, I would love to get Tamani Kamara out of it. Mm-hmm. And if it's an either or, you know, it might just be pick one of those two guys and the Celtics will be happy to get one of those two. And then Jeremy Grant or whatever filler you can get from there. And it just depends on the package of picks versus the types of players, you know, fewer picks, better players, better picks, fewer players type of thing,
right.
As long as the money works salary-wise. But I don't know that they're dying to get Donovan Klingon, but they would like to. So if it's not in this deal, they can try to find a big somewhere else, some other way. So, but yeah, that is definitely one of the names that keeps coming up.
We're talking with John Corrales, Locked On Celtics. He's been covering the Celtics for a while. Covers the league as a whole, too. We've talked to him about league-wide stuff, but pretty connected and following what Boston's done. If you were to try to, like, bet, would you bet that it's today that he's moved, or do you think this is going to continue to be a slow roll? Because Steven seems to move at his own pace. Obviously, it's really noisy, so maybe that's a reason to drum up more interest around the league. Obviously, we played Bobby Marks' audio before we had you on, so it's becoming very contentious of what Jaylen Brown, what's he worth versus like what kind of player he is. Yeah. Do you expect this to be done today, or would you say it's going to be more of a slow rollout for Brad Stevens?
Well, I don't know if it gets done today, but it needs to be done soon, because whatever the Celtics end up deciding to do, they need to figure out how they're going to build up the rest of their team. Because trading away Jaylen Brown only is like just the beginning of their offseason. So you have to figure out, is it going to be the Blazers package or not? Are they going to have to pivot? Is it going to be Denver? Or is it going to be Atlanta? As long as they have some sort of trade war, some bidding war going on, then they can kind of pit the teams against each other, force teams to make their, you know, best and final offer soon, and then pick from that so they can start talking to free agents. The types of free agents you're going to get depends on what your return is. So, like, if it's going to be Klingon, then great. Then your center situation is set. You got to start focusing on forwards and guards. But if it's going to be Kamara, then you have to go find a big. And so the teams you're talking to are going to be different. You need to get this stuff done soon so you know what the rest of your team is going to look like. So today, yeah, maybe today. There's a lot of stuff happening today. But if not today, relatively soon.
Yeah, it'd be great. We'd love to see something sooner than later. I'm curious what you make as somebody who's followed and covered the Celtics for a long time. Just of this whole discourse, the analytical conversation, the Bobby Marks comments, Jaylen Brown is defending himself on social media. Like, we all have eyeballs we can watch. I'm sure there's a number here or there, an advanced stat you could point to that says he's not great at this or not great at that. But I just watched a guy carry a team to the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, averaging nearly 30 points per game and being the driving force behind that. Just what do you make of this debate and then the idea of it seems like he's kind of always been that Robin his entire career and put behind Tatum in the pecking order of things in Boston.
Yeah, look, analytics and the eye test need to work hand in hand, because your eyes will tell you something, but your eyes also have bias, right? Sometimes you're looking for things. Sometimes because you're looking at one thing, you're missing the other thing. And the stats can support or, you know, refute some things. Stats aren't always perfect either, because each team is different. And just because, like, I understand, like, I've seen Jaylen Brown's advanced analytics always look kind of worse than you feel like he's playing. And I think some of that is, you know, situational. When are you on the floor? Who are you on the floor with? And how much do you have to do? And it certainly exposes some flaws in his game. But no player is perfect. Especially like when you're talking about a Jaylen Brown, who's, you know, a 2-time All-NBA guy, a third teamer and a second teamer. So there's going to be something that keeps him from being that perennial first team guy. Okay, fine. But that doesn't mean that he's not impactful. And whatever analytics guy said that Jaylen's going to be the 7th best player on a team, that person should be fired. If you come up with any metric that says Jaylen Brown is the 7th best player on a team, you do not tell Bobby Marks that. You tell Bobby Marks, oh my God, I have a horribly flawed analytics system. I need to fix this before anybody catches on. That's what he should have said.
Yeah, tell him about the broken model that they've created. Hey, guess what this thing said? Jaylen Brown's a 7th on a team.
Well, like, we can debate whether Jaylen is a 1st, a 2nd, or even if you're down on Jaylen Brown, you can say he's like the 3rd best guy. Mm-hmm. But you can't say he's any worse than the 3rd best guy on a team. Yeah. That's outrageous. So, wherever the analytics rank him, that some players just, you need to look at the eye test and you need to look at what his impact is. The dude was just a finals MVP, legitimately a finals MVP. He's huge in that championship run. So however we got here, he's still a damn good player. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, I don't remember the second part of your question.
That's okay. On a shocked meter, 1 to 10, where would you be if they just ran it back with Brown? If they didn't end up agreeing to anything, Stevens doesn't seem like the easiest guy to deal with at all times. So if Portland bows out eventually because they don't want to give up a Donovan Klingon or whatever it is, where would your shock meter be of Jaylen Brown in a Celtic uniform starting opening night?
It's probably at a 5, and that might just be because I never expected him to be traded in the first place. So all of this is very confusing to me. If Brad is as good as he is supposed to be, and if Jaylen Brown has any level of self-awareness, he can look at the situation and say, maybe I don't want to go and be, you know, the number one guy on certain rosters. Maybe he doesn't like Portland. Like, I like Portland. It's a very nice city. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't like that fit. Maybe he doesn't want to compete with Denny Avdija. It could be any number of things. Or maybe he loves it. But if he's looking at a situation saying, this is not ideal for me, then he can kind of, I think, look at the offers that are out there. Look at the situation that's being, as well, my dog doesn't like this trade.
Pro Brown, can't make this trade.
Don't trade him.
Yeah. The Jaylen can, if he can take an honest look at how things are lining up, he might just say, look, going back to Boston, I know they tried to trade me, but it's not the end of the world. I can go back to a place that I know I'm good here, and we can win a championship. I'll wrap it up saying this. Jaylen Brown winning another championship in Boston would make him an absolute legend in this city. He's already pretty close. If he sticks around and if he understands that sticking around and winning another championship in Boston, what that does to his legacy, I think it makes it easier for him to put whatever trade pursuits are out there behind him, and he can kind of get past that and get back to business. So I'm kind of like 50-50 on, like, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he came back.
Legend in Boston winning a second championship is great. He could be an icon in Portland forever if he won one in Portland, I'll tell you that
now. For sure. No doubt.
I'm curious if this from the Boston angle of – like you mentioned Brown being the finals MVP, he was the conference finals MVP the year that they won the championship, the year that he just had kind of carrying them. And I, you know, not that he didn't have any help, right? It's not a completely flawed roster, but being the best player on a team that got the 2 seed, I know the playoffs didn't end the way that they wanted to, but just of what this means for Tatum, I guess, going forward, if the trade is to happen. Like, let's follow that road for a minute. Because I thought the first time they made the finals, and you've obviously watched this a lot closer than me, I thought Brown outplayed him in that Golden State series. I thought he was the better player in the playoffs and in the finals. Then you get back to the finals and you win one, and he is the finals MVP. Like, I get why Tatum has always been the face of the franchise, but I don't know. I find that an interesting thing of, what if they don't win another one? Like, what does it mean for Tatum's legacy? And if they aren't the 2 seed next year and Brown is gone, what does it mean for his legacy of going forward? Because this tandem's been together for a really long time.
Yeah, look, the assumption here in Boston is that, you know, Tatum is the untouchable one, and, you know, Tatum's the perennial first teamer. And you could argue that part of the reason why Jaylen was the finals MVP is because the way Tatum was guarded, it just allowed Jaylen a little bit more freedom, and he took advantage of it. I don't think it will impact Tatum's legacy necessarily. I mean, obviously, if the team drops off and there's, you know, it's going to be tough this coming season because there's the potential for Jaylen Brown to get traded. The return to not be great. And now Jason is facing a situation where he's the one leading another, you know, a lesser than expected team. And it they don't get to the 2 seed, like you said, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, maybe Jaylen, you know, is the best. You're not going to stop the online Twitter folks from making that conversation. They'll say anything. Mm-hmm. I think Jason is a good enough player that that stuff will be overcome. I think the style of play, the rest of the team, like, you got to remember there's a Derek White here. Namish Keita was really good last year as a center. They have good young players. Joe Mazzulla is, you know, coach of the year. They have Brad Stevens, executive of the year. They can figure it out. So I think Tatum is just going to continue to be Tatum. And the Celtics will continue to be good. It's just going to, they're going to have to be good a different way. So I think Tatum's legacy is going to be fine.
John Corrales, our guest here, Locked On Celtics, been covering the Celtics for quite some time. Him and his dog joining us here on the Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. They've done business with Boston. There's always this old adage in the NBA, you know, look who teams have done business with, like tend to have good relationships. You keep going back to the well there. They did the Drew Holiday exchange. I'm just curious.
They have
a good relationship. Why don't we have a trade yet? What do you think the hang up is right now as we sit?
Negotiations. It's just, this is part of a negotiation. Multiple teams are involved, so it's going to slow the process down. But I 100% agree with you. I'm looking at the same teams that you are, and you know, when you can do a deal with a team once, then you go back to that well for sure. Which makes me wonder about the teams that we haven't heard of. Are they going to be in the mix? Like, there's Utah with the Angels. There's OKC, who's got some decisions to make and tons of assets themselves. There are teams that Celtics have done business with before that like to operate in silence. Mm. And so the Portland thing is getting out there, and I don't doubt any of the Portland stuff, but I also don't doubt that it's not just Portland, that there are other teams involved and other players involved, and the Celtics are doing what they're supposed to do, which is get multiple teams competing with one another. So the deal that they want to get done is more likely to get done. Exert your leverage, exert your pressure, put the deadlines out there and see if you can, like, they can be buddy-buddy with everybody in that Portland front office, but it's also everybody's competing with one another, and you're trying to get the best deal done for your team. And I think that's just why we haven't gotten a deal done yet.
If you're a betting man, is it Portland? Does this get done with Portland? If it's involving other teams, then so be it. But, like, does Portland land Jaylen Brown in your estimation?
So if we're going to do, like, the betting odds kind of thing, I would say Portland has the best odds at this point, but the field has the better odds. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Portland has better odds than any team, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say that's going to be like a 40% chance. But all the other teams have a 15% chance. But that means all the other teams combined, there's a chance that it could be somewhere else. So I'm going to say Portland just because that's where all the noise is. But I'm leaving a significant amount of doubt right now just because I know how the league works and how Brad operates. And I feel like there's stuff that we don't know that's happening that could be a surprise. Historically, I don't know that it's always the team that makes the most noise with Boston that gets the deal done. It's always like the most noise, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's cooled off, and then someone else kind of swoops in. So I'm not going to rule that part out. But I will say that, I'll reiterate, Portland does seem to have the best combination of all the assets Boston is looking for, with the caveat that unless the OKC Thunder decide to jump in with all of their combined assets, there's a potential for a wild card there.
All right, good stuff. And the dog's name is
Teddy.
Hey,
Teddy's the one with the big loud bark.
There we go. My co-host.
Teddy's a great name. Yeah, it's the name of my son.
That's the name of his son.
Awesome. We named him after Teddy Pendergrass.
Ooh, okay. I went Ted, it was more Ted Williams for me back in the day. Teddy Baseball, you know?
That's a good one, too. Hey, we appreciate that in Boston.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. John Corrales, our good friend at Locked On Celtics, with the latest on Jaylen Brown rumor mill stuff. Good weekend of news bits. We'll see if it ends up happening between Portland and Boston. Thank you, John. We appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, guys. See ya.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from John Corrales, Locked On Celtics. Let's react to what he said. Let's dive into it. Jaylen Brown, Portland stuff, took over the weekend. Dive into it next. 105.1 The Fan.